Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God promised the Israelites that when they passed through the waters, He would be with them. Also, if they had to walk through the fire, they would not be burned. We should embrace these words. They remind us that there are waters and fires in the life of every follower of Jesus Christ, but our lives are in God's hands. Every storm has a purpose that is designed for God's glory. Please open your Bible to Acts 27, verse 25, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his message on this chapter.
It says in verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." That literally means take heart. Be of good courage. Why? Notice, "For I believe God," or literally, "I have complete confidence that it shall be even as it was told me." Do you and I have complete confidence in this book, beloved? Complete confidence. "I believe it shall be to me even as it is written in this book." No matter what the news tells me, no matter what's going on in current events, I believe that it shall be just as God has told me. And God told Paul, "Be of good cheer, as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also at Rome." Pastor Chuck Smith, in his commentary, the book of Acts, wrote, "When you are filled with anxiety, fear, and doubts, you can rest upon the promise of God. Only then can you be sustained through the darkest night and the roughest storm." And I look at so many of you, and I know that it's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that has brought you through the darkest storms, the darkest hours, and here you are today, stronger in the Lord because of it. It's the storms, it's the trials in life. Peter says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials. They are like barbells for a weightlifter. They're intended to strengthen you in your faith in the Lord and lose your dependence upon yourself. The more we grow in the Lord, we become less self-dependent and more God-dependent. That's the purpose of every trial. God's purpose for Paul is to testify before Caesar. So he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that not even that deadly storm could thwart God's promise. Matthew Henry again wrote, "No storms or tempests can hinder God's favor towards his people, for he is a help always at hand. It is a comfort to the faithful servants of God when in difficulties that as long as the Lord has any work for them to do, their lives shall be prolonged." I think of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation chapter 11. It is in the height of the tribulation period. And there are the two witnesses. And the Bible says, when they finished their testimony, then the Antichrist was able to take them out. When they finished their testimony. And beloved, you and I have a testimony to finish. And until that testimony is finished, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. You and I can be confident, we can be fearless in serving Jesus Christ, no matter how difficult it is, we have a testimony to finish. And when we're done with the purpose that God has redeemed us for, then he calls us home. I like that, right? That's the destination. We're going home. Be of good cheer. John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, and the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Beloved, be of good cheer this morning. Christ has overcome the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Christ. We go from victory to victory, no matter what the storm. We go from victory to victory. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 26, "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." So God begins to show Paul via this vision or this word of knowledge that he's going to be cast upon a certain island. Read chapter 28. So there's more that we see here that God is intending to do. They're going to land on an island, and on this island is going to be this group of people and a man who has really, really ill of dysentery, and God showed to Paul, we're going to land there, and we're going to be ministering to those people. You see, God sees far ahead, much farther ahead than you and I do. And he works in our life with such precision. There's never an oops in heaven. Never. Because the ultimate purpose for your life and my life, whatever we're praying about, vocation-wise, career-wise, is his glory and his purposes. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Put a seatbelt on. Because you and I have no idea what that is going to mean. Paul knows God is in control. He sees that God's going to have work. Little does he know. Read ahead, chapter 28, what Paul's going to step into. But when the 14th night was come, we were driven up and down in Asia. So now you see it. The ship is now bouncing at sea. You ever been on a board a ship where it does anything like that? Maybe, or yeah. Right. That's pretty unsettling, isn't it? I mean, everything that you've had for breakfast or lunch for the past 2 weeks, eventually it's going to come up. Or you ever been on a plane and you're going smoothly and then you're at 36,000 feet and then in about 5 seconds, 30,000 feet and the glass is up in the air and everything up in the air. Oh, what was this all about? Well, that's the idea here. The 14th night, 2 weeks, we were driven up and down. And about midnight, don't things seem worse at midnight? A toothache at midnight seems a lot worse than a toothache at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? So it's at midnight. The shipmen deemed they drew near to some country, Adria, or the Adriatic Sea. It lies between Italy and Macedonia or Greece. And so they let down these anchors like. They went 20 fathoms, and they're 120 feet away from shore. And then they're 15 fathoms, 90 feet away from shore. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and waited for morning to come. And in verse 30, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, trying to escape the ship, when they had let down the lifeboat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. So now Paul says to the centurion and to the soldiers, now at this point in time, I'm wondering, where's the captain? Maybe his head's over the side of the ship and he's just lost it, you know? Now Paul says to them, except all of you stay on board, you have no chance of surviving. You can't help but see a mini gospel message there. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. There is no hope of anybody being saved from the debt of sin, from the penalty of sin, outside of being in the ark of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So the soldiers cut off the ropes and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, darkness gave way to early morning. So finally, daylight. We live in a part of the country where we have these overcast competition with Seattle, Washington, who gets the most cloud coverage. And, you know, when the sun comes out, we turn into different creatures, don't we? Right? Like it's a little gloomy. This afternoon is supposed to get sunny. Watch. Everybody, you're thank God, you have a nice. You look, well, you kind of, it's about 1 o'clock this afternoon, the sun comes out, you're going to go, isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this beautiful? We are so weather-driven, aren't we? I mean, face it. And so now, finally, it's daylight. Paul besought them to eat something. He says, this is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Now, this fast was an involuntary fast, okay? This wasn't a religious fast, I can assure you. So for 14 days, this crew, these people, had nothing to eat. Imagine being on this ship. We don't know what month they're in here. Being tossed to and fro, not eating, dark, gloomy, overcast, finally sunrise. So he says, take some meat, for this is for your benefit, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. You're going to come through this ordeal without scratch. Notice, beloved, here, Paul is the voice of reason and calm in the midst of the storm. Now, many of you may have unsaved relatives, unsaved spouse, whatever, but know this, as a Christian, you walking in the Spirit are the voice of reason and calm in the midst of the storm. You are the one. Don't lose sight of the Lord when in the midst of your storms, beloved. The Lord is in control. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. So now Paul says, all right, men, we've been on this boat for quite a while now. Here's some food. Let's pray. Gets the microphone. I can just see Paul. Let's all bow our hearts. Lord, we thank you for this boat ride. We thank you for the twists and turns. We don't know what we're doing, but we're so glad that you know what you are doing. We thank you for your promise, and finally, we are able to eat. Lord, bless this food, and bless these individuals that are eating this food. In Jesus' name, amen. And they were all of good cheer. This, whoa, now they're feeling a little bit better. But I want you to notice something in verse 37 that is so easy to overlook. And we were in all the ship 276 souls. A couple of things. Paul's prayer of thanksgiving and words of encouragement changed the atmosphere. Never forget, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You have that savor of life in Christ. And when you step into an environment where you are outnumbered, never underestimate the power of God speaking in you and through you words of calmness, words of hope, because the people of the world do not have an answer at all for the vast majority of things that they are going through. I want you to note here, beloved, that the Spirit of God refers to these prisoners, verse 1, as eternal souls here in verse 37. You say, what's the connection? Let me suggest to you that the Apostle Paul did not view the Christian life and being a soul winner with an us versus them mentality. He didn't see the Christian life as a soul winner, as a battle between the sinners and the saved. Paul had a biblical view of the human race, that there are no good guys and bad guys, only sinners in need of a Savior. How do you categorize the lost? We're the good guys, they're the bad guys. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to attack them like an enemy. They need to hear the gospel. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I think it is so important that you and I as believers, especially at this time in the history of our nation, to realize that we are transplants from heaven on earth with the express purpose of preaching the gospel to every single soul. Because the only thing that's going to change the spiritual climate of any person in any nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe with all of my heart that when we stand before the Lord in heaven, we're going to see many of these prisoners who are on this boat, who heard the gospel preached to them. Who did Christ die for? Romans 5, 6, 8, and 10. For the ungodly, for his enemies, while we were yet without strength. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't politicize the gospel. Don't reduce the gospel to psychology. It's a message from heaven where God sent his son to redeem lost sinners alienated from God and giving them new life and hope. Praise God. Gospel is good news. Good news. It's the best news. It's not the greatest show on earth. It's the best news in the universe. Paul saw these individuals as souls. And when they had eaten enough, I can't imagine feeding 276 people who hadn't eaten for 2 weeks. They lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they did not recognize the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore or a beach into the which they were minded if it were possible to thrust in the ship. They didn't recognize the land, but they could see a bay with a beach on which they planned to run the ship if possible. And when they had taken up anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And so now they're headed toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart, or the bow of the ship, stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. The bow stuck and couldn't be moved, while the stern was broken to pieces by the force of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul. Who do you think put that into the centurion's heart? The Almighty. Willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. You see, soldiers were executed if their prisoners escaped. But God, speaking through the centurion, overruled their intention to kill the prisoners. The centurion wanted to save Paul, so he prevented them from carrying out their plan. Can you see, as in verse 24, God's providential care for Paul spilled over to benefit others. Other people, family members, friends, are being perhaps blessed somewhat by you, your presence. Not because of you per se, but because of the Spirit of God upon you. That's a remarkable, remarkable thing. And so, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. How many escaped? All 276. So can you see Paul, whatever's remaining of the ship, they're swimming, and Paul's probably going, okay, number one, number two, number three, number 20, number 150, 276. All of them saved. All of them saved. How many of the 144,000 made it through the Great Tribulation period? 144,000. Because they were sealed with the Spirit of God. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning his crucifixion on the cross, his death on the cross for your sin debt, his burial and resurrection from the dead on the third day, the Bible says you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and you are sealed and safe and preserved against the ultimate judgment of God. God promised that through Paul, that everyone on board would be saved. And here we see they got to land. Some swam, some floated on boards of pieces. We all get to heaven different ways, don't we? We all have a wonderful testimony of how we got to this place of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Everyone made it to shore safely. You know, you never go wrong by trusting God's word. The Lord here chose not to calm the storm, as he did in Matthew 8:26, but he did make sure that everyone made it to shore because it was his will. Is there anything practical here for you and me this morning? I hope so. Storms pop up in every believer's life, don't they? Anybody here as a Christian never had a storm? Never. We all do. How many of you prayed for them? They just happen, don't they? It's kind of what happens as a believer. You go through trials, you go through storms, you go through testings. It's not to question your faith, it's to grow you and I in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Storms in the believer's life, they pop up like icons that pop up on the dashboard of your vehicle. There you are driving down the road, and then all of a sudden here comes that wrench. And so what do? You drive home. And then you go to the manual, and you find on page 56, this is your problem, and this is what you need to do to get it fixed. And if you are not a procrastinator, you do it as quickly as possible. You don't let it linger so that it gets worse and worse. So what do you do when a storm comes, beloved? Not if. What do you and I do when the storms come? Well, we go to the owner's manual, right? We go to the owner's manual. We turn to page, bah, 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 we find an appropriate promise of God. And we apply the promise of God to our prayer life and to our practical life. You see, and we ask ourselves, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this storm? Let me give you some of the biblical icons from the dashboard of Scripture that may describe the kind of storm that you may be experiencing this morning. Maybe, like Paul, you're in a storm this morning because you are in the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. There are storms being in the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Here's an example. Maybe your storm is a self-inflicted storm due to the consequences of unrepentant sin in your life. Or maybe because you have refused to listen to the Word of God and the wisdom of God that was given to you by either Scripture or a man or woman of God. Maybe the storm that you are going through is what God is allowing because He's increasing your faith in Him as He's preparing you for ministry within the church. Maybe it's an emotional storm because of the concern you have for prodigals in your life. Maybe it's a storm of warning because God is protecting you from engaging in something or getting involved with someone that would be very, very damaging. Maybe it's a marital storm. Maybe it's a storm of loneliness. Maybe it's a storm of singleness. Maybe it's a physical health storm. Maybe it's a demonic attack that is seeking to undermine your biblical worldview and faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a storm of persecution or opposition for the gospel's sake. Maybe it's a storm due to neglect, pride, stubbornness. There's all different kinds of storms that we find in God's Word. We need to turn to Him no matter what the storm is, beloved. And God cares for you in the midst of the storm. Know that. You may be in a storm running away from God like Jonah. If God has to create a whale to swallow you and spew you up on the shores of Nineveh, it's going to happen. Bottom line is this. Hope thou in God, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And that's not to minimize the depth of the degree of your storm this morning. Hope thou in God. You see, my flesh wants to be and usually is storm conscious. God help us not to be storm conscious, but son conscious, savior conscience. Lord, you've got this. I may not understand it, but I know that you are in control. Do you have that confidence today that God's in control? It makes the difference between a peace that passes understanding or you're just stressed out. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.